You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Celebrate Canada's 150th and treat yourself to a brand new Silverado. 20% off MSRP cash credit on select vehicles right now at Lakewood Chev.
Randy Ambrosi, the commissioner of the CFL, who made a decision that I really applaud. They are limiting instant review now, challenge flags, one per team, per game. That's it. If you're right, pat on the back, move forward. If you're wrong, you lose your timeout, and away you go. Commissioner, welcome back to the program. Randy, did you push this quicker because of what you saw unfold last weekend in Edmonton, or was that just part of the equation?
Well, it was certainly a big factor, and in fact, when I left Edmonton the next morning and headed to Calgary for the game in Calgary on Saturday night, I think I was inundated by more questions from the media and more comments from fans than at any other point along the way, and I think that was largely driven by what they had seen Friday night in Edmonton.
Now, there's a lot of people wondering why not have it if you get it right, you want to continue. I'm not one of those, but I just want to ask that question. Why was it just one and that's it? Why was that the best decision for you?
Well, you know, really, in this case, when we started the conversation with the teams in earnest on Monday morning, and, you know, frankly, this has been a conversation that's been going on for a while, but we really decided to tackle it aggressively, and I think we immediately found that everyone agreed that we needed to do something, that what was happening was falling way outside the spirit of what challenge flags and instant replay and the command center was intended to do, which was really to fundamentally prevent, you know, an egregious call, a mistake made by our on-field officials that could, you know, functionally change the outcome of the game. And we had gotten so far away from that. And what we hypothesized is that the best way to do this is one simple change, easy to understand, easy to explain, simple in its execution, and get us back to the business of watching these great athletes play the game of football as we've been watching all season long. And I think it was really that. It was just, this was simple. We got everyone on the same page. We had unanimous support from our competition committee, unanimous support from the presidents, and unanimous support from our board of governors. And I think in part we got that because we didn't try to overcomplicate this. We have said, by the way, that at season end we'll do a full review of the entire system. But this was simple, it's elegant, and it should help us to get back to the business of watching great football being played.
Randy Ambrosi joins. Randy, who's on the competition committee?
You know, I see. Shame on you for asking me that, because now I'm gonna go through the list of names and then ultimately forget them. Let's just say that they're football guys and really smart people, and not have me embarrass myself by forgetting a name.
Okay. Now, is it one from each team or not necessarily?
No, it is a committee of our football people and a combination of our football people and some of our executive people that come together. You know, really, I think that when we were approached, we approached them to think this thing through. You could tell they all completely understand the game and understood how that we were out of sync with what the original intention of the challenge flag program was. And I was so happy to see how quickly they rallied around this solution.
Now, Randy, I've had a lot of players, and they seem fine with it. You mentioned how it's gone too far, and I agree with you. It almost is like, wow, that's 50-50. It's in the fourth quarter. Let's throw it. Was there also part of this that just by having too many challenges, you were opening up Pandora's box for now guys making judgment calls on judgment calls, and that can lead to just, you know, a different judgment. The person in the command center just has a judgment call on what an official saw on the field, and a lot of times it could be 50-50. So now we were overturning calls that maybe shouldn't be an overturn. So this also eliminates more opportunities to go to command center.
Yeah, I think the math is supports your logic. Look, if we believe we're getting a very high success rate in our video replay reviews, but if you the more of them you're doing, the simple law of math will say that in terms of the raw output of numbers, you're going to get a higher number of them that won't be correct. But what's probably more important is to go back to what the philosophy was. And it was actually John Hufnagel and I had this conversation on Saturday evening. John said, Randy, when we determine the philosophy of the Command Center replay review process, it was not to get it perfect. It was to fundamentally overturn egregious mistakes. So, you know, it was limited in its scope to not, you know, watching and watching and watching in the replays until you could literally be certain you had got it right. It was to try to find out, did the ref just miss something that they should have seen? And a lot of the cases, it wasn't until, you know, we use, and you know, let's say, you know, from a fan's perspective, super high, slow-mo, high-def, double-secret squirrel technology, and then you could say, yeah, through that lens, should have been reversed. The problem is that process takes a lot of time. And what we are finding is that our fans just enjoy the game when it moves along. The fans enjoy it when there's a fast pace and it's played at speed. So, you know, we'll look at that in the off season as well, determine whether a more intensive process is warranted if we're going to limit the number of challenge flags. But I think it's important that we point out that the team in the command center aren't trying to use technology to run this to ground to get the perfect answer. They're really trying to say, gosh, the ref just completely missed something that they otherwise should have seen. And of course, the referees on the field don't have the benefit of, you know, of high definition instant replay.
Yeah, that definitely a factor. Randy Ambrosi joins us. Randy, you also had mentioned how you'd like football to maybe be a little bit less ticky-tack and allow a little bit more contact. I don't know if I'm paraphrasing that correctly, but was that kind of your point?
Well, you know, look, I think, you know, as if I know the difference between going to the ballet and a football game, and I'd like as best we can to have the outcome of our games decided by the athletes on the field and a lot less interference by, you know, extraneous forces and officiating being one of them. You know, that said, we also have to have the players have to follow the rules. You know, what we don't want, and we were very careful in the execution of this plan this week for Glenn Johnson, our head of football operations, to speak to our officials and say, look, this doesn't allow it to become open season on the defensive backs mugging the receivers because now they're coaches don't have these extra challenges. So we'll be vigilant on making sure the players play within the rules. But, you know, what I'd like to see is I'd like to see the players play football. And because it's most exciting when the players are deciding the outcome.
So in that sense, how do you, because some people hear that like I saw some receivers complaining, oh, the defensive hold all the time, which I kind of chuckled at. I'm like, I don't really think that's the case at all. But as a former player, and I think you can see how the, and the game always evolves at times, but you obviously don't want to go to headshots, of course, but what are some elements of the game that maybe, you know, you'd like to see decided more by the players?
Well, you know, look, an example will be for me when I see two athletes going for the ball, you know, the ball's in the air. And I think there are times when you can just, you know, I think you've got two amazing world-class athletes who are both vying for the ball. Well, you know, my definition of two great athletes going for the ball is maybe may the best athlete win. And to the best of our ability, I'd like to sort that out from, you know, a clear case of pass interference. You know, just an example of the distinction between my view and what you know we might get from time to time. Look, I think our officials do a great job, but I want to see the game played by these great athletes. I just want to see them be able to compete on the field, stay within the rules. But you know what, like to some degree, you almost have to give the benefit of the doubt to the players who are, you know, making that effort to make a play. And I think if we can find that soft spot, I think our game will be better and more exciting and certainly more fan-friendly.
Randy Ambrosi, Commissioner for the CFL, joins us. that the position you played, I think it's safe to say, is one of those positions where, you know, some people say, oh, there could be holding every play. I think that maybe has been overblown somewhat. There's a lot of battles every time on the offensive line. And we are seeing fewer penalties. Like, penalties are down significantly in the CFL this season, Randy. So do you feel it's trending in the right way?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we're down. Our average number of penalties is just around 14. We've had a number of games where the total number of penalties was 11, and I can tell you those games are super entertaining. Like, they just feel different. They feel better. I feel like they're just funner to watch. So yes, we are definitely on the right track. And again, I should point out, long before I arrived on the scene back in the game, we've had Glenn Johnson and his team doing an amazing job of evolving the game. You know, officiating, as we both know, is a very tough thing. It may be one of, I think if they're doing a top three list of least appreciated professions on the planet, we might find officiating makes that list in two of the three spots. And the fact is, I think they are doing a good job. I think the game is better with fewer penalties, and we are definitely getting there, which is one of the reasons why our games have been so exciting this season.
Well, the game's definitely, well, excluding, I guess, the Hamilton-Calgary game, have been extremely competitive top to bottom this year. You've now had, I guess, maybe a little bit of time to catch your breath as the commissioner. Are there any other things? Because that's a massive change right away. The one thing that's happened, unfortunately, twice this year is contact on officials. And, you know, there's been one game suspension. I know some people, and you even admitted it, hey, the way it's stated right now, it's kind of hard to get more than one game. Specifically on the Will Hill one, is that something you'd like to revisit to make it that if a player actually does grab an official in the future, that there could be more consequence?
Yeah, well, this is the kind of topic that I'd like to have with the Players Association in a very positive, constructive way. I can tell you that our partners at the PA, they want our game to be played fairly and safe, and I'm confident that if we had them on the show with us, they would say the same thing. They don't want the players to touch the referees and be at all abusive. I think the Player Association are made up of really honorable guys who completely get the game and they want the game played well. You know, I think the subject as we have it today was we've tried to make it clear. We've said to the players there were two incidents now. We've said you can't touch the refs. You just can't. And if you do, it's going to be met with swift and decisive action. I'm hoping that we've seen the two incidents that we're going to see this season and for many seasons to come. I frankly hadn't seen it before. I don't recall seeing that happen before. And I hope that we've made the point. And again, you know, we will have a sit down with the PA as our partners and emphasize this all over again. And I believe that they're such honorable guys that they will agree that that's a line we can't cross. And I'm looking forward to that conversation, you know, when the season ends, and, you know, I'm confident we can land in a really good spot.
Are there any other thing, having been around the league for so long from a player perspective, I think you understand that one. Then, of course, you've had the last few years on the business side, and that's obviously why you got the job. When you look at the league and the growth, and we've seen it, you know, schedules are always tough for every league, but when you have two bye weeks for every team over the course of the season set out automatic, is there a way moving forward, Randy, to eliminate the three games in 11 days or three games in 14 that we've already seen two teams have?
Well, you know, I would say this from my vantage point, we have to do everything humanly possible to avoid that at all costs. And I was asked the question at the time, how would I have felt? And I would say it would have been very tough, especially in the late stages of my career, to try to play three games in 11 nights would have been very tough. I can't be a hypocrite on the point. So, you know, when this season ends, we will start the scheduling process right away, and I'm going to do everything I can to try to prevent that. I know it's like a Rubik's Cube, right? There's lots of moving parts to this thing, and it looks easy when you take it out of the box and it's all the squares are aligned. It gets more complicated as soon as you start turning the dials. But I feel strongly that we've got to make do everything we can to make the game safe for our players. And one of the ways we do that is by keep making sure they're not playing too many nights in a row.
And one that has nothing to do with player safety is growing the game. And now with the internet, and fans want as much information as they can get all the time. You look at the CFL, Randy, and during the season, there's lots of interaction, a lot of things going on, and then it kind of goes dark and not a whole bunch occurs. Is there a way, do you see, whether it's, part maybe altering the negotiation list rules, so if you have the negotiation list public, fans and every team can see it, that quarterback in at Duke, he was on Saskatchewan's list or Edmonton's list, and, that might cause just more conversation amongst your fans year-round. Is there a way to move that forward to have it so the fans can get more access to stats they want on teams and who potentially is coming in?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I don't have an answer for it today, but I can say with a high degree of confidence, keeping our game top of mind 12 months a year is a very important priority for us. CFL Week, which was held in Regina last spring, was an overwhelming success. Like, not a little success, it was huge. And the number of fans that we had go through CFL Week, and we combined it with our combine, it was a big success. We have plans to go ahead and do another CFL Week this coming year. We had an amazing sponsor with Mark's Work Warehouse, and we're looking forward to working with them again. That's just an example of a way to keep our fans engaged. But, helping our fans understand and be able to look into where the teams are going and the kind of players we're talking to, I think is a really interesting idea. To be fair, I want to talk to the teams, and I really want to make sure there isn't an unintended consequence that I'm not seeing today. And you only get to that by asking a lot of good questions. And, we've got such fantastic partners on our teams. I think if we ask those questions, we'll know whether we can do more to get our fans more engaged in the game. And that's a recipe for making our game better.
Randy, I agree with you. I'm happy to hear that you're open to it, which hasn't been the case in the past, so that's fantastic to hear. And I know some teams, a lot of people are scared of change, but change for the CFL, I think, could open up, and especially if you're looking for the younger demographic, the best way to connect to them is online. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, it's been nice talking to you, and have a great afternoon.
Randy Ambrosi, the commissioner of the CFL. Whew, what a breath of fresh air. Man, I'd like to go back and play the tape of the previous commissioner. It is night and day. He actually answered the questions.